It's Bob Simpson on Phoenix FM, and regular listeners to this programme will know that every week I play a song for Daphne. Well, we're about to find out all about Daphne because I'm honoured to have been invited into Daphne's front room, and we're going to talk about Daphne, her life, times past and Christmases and all that kind of thing. That's right, isn't it, Daphne?
If we can get that far, yes.
Yes, we will. How are you?
All right.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. Now, you've lived in and around Billericay, Brentwood all of your life, really, haven't you? Apart from one little spell outside, I think?
One or two little spells outside. I was born in Southend.
Okay.
Southend Hospital. And soon after that, we moved to Hutton Alpha Road. And soon after that, we moved to Mount Nessing, which was Rosemary Cottages. One cottage was Rose and one was Mary, but that's how they were spoken about.
Right.
Right opposite the windmill, okay. The road to the windmill. And when I was 4 years and probably 11 months, we then moved to Shenfield. And I stayed in Shenfield with my parents until I was 23.
Right.
And that was in 1958 when I got married. I can remember several different bits and pieces. I can remember playing in different gardens, but I can't actually specify whether it was Mount Nessing or whether it was Shenfield.
Okay. And you're currently living in Billericay, so you're very much a local girl, aren't you?
Yes, I've lived here for 65 years.
In Billericay, yeah.
In Billericay, yeah. When I got married, we lived with my mother-in-law. And fortunately, we got on well, and we were with her for 8 years.
Right. Well, let's talk about your childhood to start with, because you must have been growing up during wartime, the Second World War, is that right?
Oh, yeah, not half.
Yeah. So what are your memories of life in the local area during the war as a child?
When the war was... when the air raid siren went, because having moved to Shenfield at that age, when I was five, the Easter, I started school.
Yeah.
At Shenfield St Mary's. And if there was an air raid and it wasn't lunchtime, we got sent home.
Oh.
The thing is, parents don't know. Well, as it happens, I travel backwards and forwards on my own anyway. But we had, coming away from school, we had to cross a major road. But of course, they were nothing like they are now.
Right.
And it was the old A12.
Okay.
One particular day, I was coming home and I'm looking up at the sky. And there's a couple of aeroplanes chasing one another. I didn't know because I wasn't old enough to understand. But it was one of ours and one of theirs. And our one was having a go at the one, at the cherry one.
Right.
I suppose it was ignorance. Mm. I wasn't scared.
Okay.
And I went, crossed another big road to get to Priest Lane, to get home. And as I'm walking up Priest Lane, there's a woman came to her door and she called me. And she said, you can't go home in... Oh, no, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. She said, you can't be wandering about in this, you know. Mm. You better come in and stop for a little while. Well, just imagine what would happen these days if people ask you to do that. But I went in, and as soon as it was fairly decent to go, you know, I said, well, Mum will be wondering where I am, you know. And, I mean, she'd given me a drink and... And it was lovely. They, you know, it was really as if I'd known them all my life.
Okay.
Yeah. Got no fear of anybody. And they were good. I went home and everything was okay at home. Another time when I came home, the same sort of journey, but there was a house before that one. Mm. The woman came out. And I went, she asked me in as well. And when I left, she said, you've been very quiet. I thought, yeah, well, I don't know what to talk about.
You're a bit overwhelmed, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But she gave me a present when I left.
Oh.
And it was a huge great duck egg.
Oh, wow.
And you didn't see many of those in those. I didn't see anything of it after it got home, I might tell you.
That disappeared, did it? Yeah.
But, you know, it was the kindness of people who don't know, seeing a kid floating about.
Yeah.
Not understanding, basically, what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people around there then, they were all... You spoke to everybody.
Yeah.
Now hardly anybody speaks to.
Mm.
But I can remember distinctly one day, where we lived in Shenfield, there was nothing beyond us but two allotments on our side of the road.
Right.
And it went down the other side of the road with four houses. And as you look straight down, you could see Shenfield Station from our back, or our, the door at the side of the house.
Okay.
And that was where my dad was working at. Well, he worked at the South End and then Shenfield. And one particular night, we went out onto the back doorstep and we were looking. Well, he took me to look, and there were lots of pretty white flares coming down all along the railway line.
Oh.
Well, again, I wasn't frightened.
No.
I hadn't got a clue. That was a Jerry plane up there marking a line for a bombing attack somewhere, and I don't know, it wasn't Shenfield Station, that was sure.
Okay.
But they had to follow the railway lines.
Okay. Yeah.
So they lit up the railway lines, and I can remember standing there holding Dad's hand and telling him how pretty they looked.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't enlighten me, fortunately.
No. What about bomb damage locally around you? Was there anything like that?
Well, we had a doodlebug come down middle of the night one particular time, and it was more or less halfway between Shenfield Station and where we lived.
Right.
But it was across the other side of the road to Shenfield Station. If I came with you or you came with me, I could show you whereabouts it was. It's all houses now, but there was nothing down there, and it brought all our ceilings down.
Oh, dear.
All the windows out.
Oh.
And quite a lot of other damage, because it was a clear aftershock.
Okay.
I don't know how to put it.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
It was where the bomb had come, doodlebug had come down and exploded. We'd got a clear shot from our house right the way across, because there weren't any houses much in Friars Avenue at the time.
Mm.
It was the only time I knew my dad to sound as if he panicked, because
right.
My grandparents were staying with us. And it was my mum's parents. Nana called down and said, "I'm coming down." And my father shot from one room to the bottom of the stairs. "Don't come down. Stay where you are. Don't move."
Right.
The landing is full of glass. Well, she walks about, or she used to, sorry, with nothing on her feet.
Right. So she used to walk bare feet indoors.
She used to. Yeah. She couldn't get to shops to get things for herself to fit properly, and you couldn't get stuff like you can now.
No, of course not. At wartime, was it? Yeah.
There wasn't a lot about, but you certainly couldn't phone and ask for a delivery sort of thing.
No.
So she'd go about that way. Well, I didn't know my dad cared that much for my grandmother. But, you know, it showed the way he moved and yelled at her not to come down. As the stairs went up to a small landing and then turned and went up another three stairs, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, I wouldn't blame him for being scared, really. The blooming great doodlebug coming down. And it must have been pretty close to your house as well.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it wasn't very far away.
Yeah.
Blimey. We were fortunate, because I had I had a young brother at the time. He was about 3 months old. Mm. I was, what, about nine? No. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. Mm. I'll work it out and tell you another time.
All right, that's fine.
And Mum and Dad and I slept in the same room with Malcolm, my brother, yeah, in his cot. But that night, we were sleeping in the sitting room downstairs. Mm. And I wouldn't have had the brother if we hadn't have been, because his cot was absolutely packed with ceiling rubbish, where the ceiling had come down up there. And I don't think he, you know, from what I saw and remember of it, I don't think he could have lived through that.
No.
But he was in his pram downstairs.
Yeah, very lucky, yeah. So all this devastation, how was it cleared up and repaired, and how long did it take? Do you know? Can you remember?
Well, I don't remember any of it ever. I don't remember it being done.
Right. Hmm.
But all of a sudden, we got windows in, and probably about the same day. It was rented accommodation anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The mess that everything it made in there, and the amount of posh houses that probably had a lot of the same sort of damage, yeah, I would have thought they would have got first dibs at the best people, you know. But how many others on our road were rented, I don't know, but I think a lot of them were.
Yeah.
But not all the same landlord, of course.
Okay, yeah. So what about wartime Christmases? What do you remember about those? I mean, what did you get for your Christmas dinner? Food was scarce then, wasn't it?
The bottom of our garden, right across the bottom of our garden, we had a chicken run.
Okay.
And in the chicken run, we also had two lots of rabbit hutches.
Okay.
And we didn't do too bad for that.
Sounds like it, yeah. Did you give them names?
Probably at the time, yes. And I was totally ignorant to the fact that one of these days one of our rabbits had disappeared and we had rabbit for dinner.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I did get a bit older, and it wasn't very old, I might tell you, Dad had one of the rabbits that was slaughtered, and he took the innards out and gave it to me and said, right, we can take the skin off. And I did.
Well done, yeah. What were your thoughts about that then?
All I was concentrating on is not hurting it, to be honest.
Oh, bless you.
But I was pulling the legs out as gently as I could so it didn't get hurt. The things you can remember.
Yeah. And what about presents during the war? Did you get a PlayStation?
Yeah, the front room.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Good one, yeah.
But or the back garden.
What sort of treats did you get?
I know we always had a good Christmas dinner.
Right.
And we always had plenty of veg, but my dad's had an allotment then up beyond the end of our road, by the side of the railway lines. Mm. I could point it out to you if we had a train ride and show you where that was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was not, you didn't expect it. Mm. You didn't expect a lot of things. You know, I didn't know how the other half lived, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that we'd got a full stomach and homemade Christmas cake and Christmas puddings and stuff, you know, that was good enough for me.
That was a treat in itself, yeah. So you didn't get a Christmas stocking or anything like that?
I don't remember me having one, but when my two brothers were, well, Malcolm must have been five and Brian must have been three.
Yeah.
One Christmas, my dad's dad, he was not a very happy man.
Oh.
But he came to stay with us over Christmas, so he had my bedroom.
Okay.
So I was in a single bed and the two boys were in a double bed. Well, we had our own way of doing the... Oh, it was my idea, actually, doing the Christmas things for the boys. We'd give them each a different pillowcase.
Okay.
So that they could hang it at the end of the bed themselves.
Right.
And when they were asleep, I whipped that one away and put the identical one that was for Malcolm with his bits and pieces in.
Right.
His side of the bed, and same for Brian, the other side, and I had to tuck the other pillowcases out of the way. Otherwise, you try putting toys or something into a pillowcase children.
Yeah. Oh, you had it all worked out then, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And, I was 12 or 13 then, I think.
You
know.
So you were the big sis, weren't you?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'd only just got to bed, it was about 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden there's Brian saying, "I wonder if he's been yet."
yeah.
And...
What about Christmas decorations? Did you put any decorations up?
Yeah, we had paper chains and things. We did decorate, and we always had a good tree. And I'll tell you what, I learnt one thing with my mum.
Right.
We didn't put all silly things on the tree. We had sweets on the tree.
Okay, yeah.
We used to get Mars bars and... Well, any sort of sweets that we could get as the boys got bigger, because once Brian was born in 1946, so from then on there wasn't a war anyway.
Right,
finished in 1945,
yeah.
Didn't it? So we could get a few more things. Then we used to get a load of licorice comforts. Do you remember them?
No.
They're... sugar-coated licorice.
Okay.
And they looked like a very tiny sausage.
Okay.
Well, we used to get a load of those and a load of dolly mixtures. I don't suppose you remember those either.
Oh, I remember dolly mixtures,
And you couldn't get cling film then.
No, of course not.
But you had cellophane paper that you could get. So I had the job of counting out the sweets to go in each of the papers and rolling it up and making it into like see-through crackers.
Yeah, oh, nice.
So they went on the tree, as well as all the chocolate stuff that we had that didn't take much looking after.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there for a minute because we're going to have some music now. Now,
oh, are we? That's good.
Well, I've asked you to think about some of your favourite Christmas songs. Can you think of one you'd like to hear now?
I think probably, first of all, it would be Jingle Bells.
Oh, okay. By anyone in particular, or just...
If I had to name any of the artists for any of the songs I like, I couldn't do it.
Okay. Well,
that is in your kit, in your
court. All right. Well, you leave that to me. Let's hear Jingle Bells.
Right.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.